chapter?
33. It's like the broker to you, Hudok.
33.
The Zos, the Yudok, and this is for Yehuda, right? It's the blessing that Moshe is giving to the tribe. And it says, this is for Yehuda. Now, why doesn't he say, this is for Levi? This is the word, the Zos, only appears by Yehuda and nowhere else. The Zos. And this. Says Rashi, the reason why the word Vizos is mentioned concerning Judah and no one else is in order to join the blessing of Reuven with the blessing of Judah. Why? Because both Reuven and Judah committed sins among the tribes. Both Reuven and Judah committed sins, and they both did tshuva. They both did tshuva. So this is why it says Vizos. Sheshneim hodu al kilkul shebiyodam, because they both admitted to their sins. Okay, now. Then it says like this. Vayomar, and this is what Moshe says. Shema Hashem kol Yehuda. Let God listen to the voice of Judah. Alright, so the main blessing to Judah is that God should listen to his voice. It's interesting. There is nothing concerning the strength of Judah, right? Judah is usually symbolized in Jacob's blessing as an Aryeh, like the lion, the strong lion. No, the main characteristic of Judah is Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda. Now, what is the hidden meaning behind it? It's of course that special capacity of Judah to express the needs, right, of men to God. As a matter of fact, most of our prayer book, you know where it's taken from. You know what is the main source of most of our prayers? What? You know what? Tehillim. Who's the author of Tehillim?
David
HaMelech. Who's that? Judah. Now, Judah is in him. Of course, it came out through David HaMelech more than through anyone else. That capacity to say the right word, that God should listen to you. So this is the blessing. Shema, this is a more important characteristic than the characteristic of the heroism of Yehuda. Right? We always think of Yehuda as a hero. His main characteristic is he knows how to talk. Right? He knows how to say things. It's interesting. You know who is the man who finally convinced Joseph to give in and to admit that he's Joseph? Right? Yehuda. No. The capacity of Yehuda is he knows what to say. So it comes out in Tehillim that David knows how to what to say to God. So we take it from Tehillim and we use it. But this is the main characteristic. It's a more important characteristic than the strength of Yehuda. Now, Rashi says the following. Really, there is one person missing here, right? Shimon is not mentioned. Why? Because, says Rashi, he hits in his heart against Shimon because of what he did for Shiti. Right? You remember the story with the princess, with Cosby Bastur, right? The head of the tribe of Shimon, and they all got together to defend him. Right? So this is why he doesn't give him a blessing. However, says Rashi, he hid the blessing of Shimon within the blessing of Judah. Where is it hidden? In the word Shema. Because what is the word Shimon come from? Where does the word Shimon come from, says Rashi? From the word hearing. Shimon. Shema, right? Ki Shema Hashem Be'oni. So therefore, the Shema in the blessing of Judah is a hidden blessing to Shimon. That's what Rashi says here on this spot. So therefore, even though he doesn't bless him openly, he hid his blessing. And it's interesting, says Rashi, it comes out that eventually Shimon, does he get a portion as a separate tribe in Israel? He never gets a portion as a separate tribe. The descendants of Shimon get portions in the land, not like the tribe of Levi, that they don't get portions of the land at all except the special cities that they were given. The sons of Shimon, the descendants of Shimon, get portions of land, but it's not called Shimon. The state is not called Shimon. You know what it's called? You know where the sons of Shimon live? The descendants of Shimon live? Where?
in Yehuda.
In Yehuda, in Judea. You know, Shimon becomes swallowed in the state of Judea. So Rashi said, where is it hinted? Right here. That the blessing to Shimon is hidden within the blessing of Judah. But I saw in the Amek Davar something very interesting concerning what does it really mean that Moshe doesn't give a blessing to the tribe of Shimon. He's angry at them, so he doesn't want to bless them. It just doesn't fit the personality of, like, it's a revenge against Shimon. What does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't bless Shimon? He's angry at them because they got together to defend their leader when he committed a sin. It just doesn't make sense that Moshe should try to get back at them, right? That the whole tribe should suffer now because of that. It doesn't make sense. So what is there in it? It says like this, you know, when Yaakov is giving the blessings to the children, right? So, it says like this, at the end of all the blessings, it repeats. And this is the blessing that Yaakov gave to all his children, the 12 children of his. But if you pay attention, there are no 12 blessings. Because Reuven was criticized. He wasn't given any blessings. Remember, in Yaakov's blessing. Shimon is criticized. Levi is criticized. The first one who starts getting a blessing is Yehuda. The first three don't even get a blessing. Okay. So, the commentaries say, well, it means that they got a blessing through the other ones, right? Like by osmosis, sort of. From the other ones, they got a blessing. But one of the commentaries says, no, the point is like this, you see. What is a blessing? What is the idea of brocho? The concept of brocho means multiplication, to multiply. You know that there is a, for instance, when you say birchat hamazon, birchat, you make birchat hamazon, right? You bench. It says in the halacha, make sure that you keep a piece of bread on the table. Why? Because the whole concept of brocho is to multiply, to more of the same, right? You have a certain characteristic, I give you a brocho, more of the same. Somebody who has nothing, if there is nothing, you can't give a brocho. Brocho doesn't go on zero, because you can't multiply a zero. Zero, I give you a blessing 100 times more. Of what? If it's zero, it's nothing. So I have to give you a blessing of something that you already have. This is why Birchat Amazon, it's a brocho on food. It has to be chal on something. It has to go on something. You have to keep a piece of bread. And it says in the halacha, make sure that in the time of the Birchat Amazon, the table is not cleared out. You have to leave a piece of bread. That's 20 seconds. What about if if somebody has a positive characteristic, right? Somebody is good in business. Right? So I tell him, you should be very successful in business. It's very good. He has it in him. And then with my blessing, it's a prayer that it should be multiplied. What about if somebody has a negative characteristic? Right? So in a way, the blessing will be that I should curse. What is curse? To minimize, to shrink. If blessing is to multiply, to curse is to shrink, right? So what about if somebody has a characteristic that if it grows too much, it's very bad. It's very good in a very small amount. Then the curse is a blessing. Let's say it like this. What was the main characteristic of Shimon? It says like this. You know, by Shechem, if you remember that story of Shechem, when they went to defend the honor of their sister, Shimon went and Levi went, right? Why? Because they both had a certain intensity and commitment to their family. But it says like this, the purpose of Shimon and the purpose of Levi was different. The purpose of Levi, the Amidah says, was that it's not right that it should happen, that people should lose respect for the house that serves God. It's a desecration of God's name that one of ours, Dina, should be taken, be kidnapped and raped by this Gentile. It's a desecration of God's name. We have to defend their honor for the sake of God. That was Levi's purpose. Shimon's purpose was, Shimon had a tremendously intense feelings of loyalty to the family. He did it for the sake of the family. As a matter of fact, when it says what they told Jacob, why they did it, it says because it shouldn't be done to the family of Yaakov and to Israel, says the Amidot. That's what it means. Shimon gave the reason that the household of Jacob, it's a family matter, the honor of the family. And he has to defend the honor of the family. Levi did it for the sake of them. Therefore, it comes out. So they are both very intense in their loyalty, right? But in that situation, their loyalties, even though it came from different sources, the purpose coincided. But when the situation was with the head of the tribe of Shimon, who has relations with the princess of Ammon, right? So again, we have the encounter between Shimon and Levi. Who represented Levi at the time?
Pinchas.
Pinchas is a Kohen. He represents Levi. So he has that intense loyalty to whom?
To God.
And the tribe of Shimon? To Shimon, to the family, to the closest family. You know, there, that intense loyalty comes out, but in opposite directions. This is why Levi's characteristics is rectified, because he directed completely towards God. That's why he becomes the priest. Shimon, because of that intensity, it's so dangerous that if we give him a blessing, then he'll become a danger to society. He's too intense in his loyalty. So intense that he can destroy. For the sake of his brother, he'll kill his cousin. For the sake of his cousin, he'll kill his neighbor. That's too dangerous. Intensity is good, but when it's limited. If it's overdone, it's very dangerous. This is why, what was the blessing to Shimon? The curse, that he should control it. Okay? The control of that intensity. So, it says like this, you see? Really, Yehuda's power is his mouth. That's his power. As a matter of fact, we'll see right away that what makes up the word Yehuda? Odo, admission, the recognition of a fault. That is the power of Yehuda. The recognizing a thing, the recognizing the truth. He's not afraid of the truth. That's the real power of Yehuda, right? But in order to create something like the healing, you need a combination of recognition of truth plus intensity. What gave the intensity to Yehuda, right, that you can create the healing? That is a combination of recognition of truth plus intensity. The hidden powers given to him by Shimon, because they became very close neighbors. As a matter of fact, you couldn't recognize who is Shimon, who is Yehuda. He's swallowed in Yehuda. That's the word that's used. Right? This is the meaning of the blessing of Yehuda. Has in it hidden Shimon, the word Shema. And this is the word Shema Hashem. This is why, what makes it possible for Hashem to hear. Because a very cold prayer is not listened by. It has to be intense. But intensity without truth is also no good. You need a combination of both. That perfect combination of Yehuda and Shimon gave the capacity to shave it, Yehuda, together with Shimon, to create the prayers. Okay? This is Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda, that Shimon is hidden in Yehuda. In other words, the intensity of Shimon is hidden in Yehuda. Now.
Can I have some... We talk about intensity. How do you define the intensity? Because, for example, like when he's having the illicit relations, wasn't it like a negative intensity?
Of course. That's the danger. It's also intensity. But it's negative. That's the danger of Shimon. That if you give him a blessing, it becomes a danger. That's why you can't give him independence as a state. You have to control it.
It could be an intensity for anything, although
for
not
anything.
Just for
that's
a variable.
The danger. This is why the curse is a blessing. The curse of Shimon, which is the shrinking of that intensity, is a blessing of Shimon, uh-huh, for Shimon. But on the other hand, it gives Yehuda the power to create the Hilim with all the emotions that the Hilim has in it. Now, Rashi says here the following. Rashi says that in the first Rashi here in Pasuk Zayin, Rashi says like this. Again, to follow this idea that Reuven and Yehuda are mentioned together because they both were flawed, they both committed sins, but they both admitted. So it says like this. Mi Gora, who was the cause for Reuven Sheyode, for Reuven to admit his sins? Yehuda, when he saw Yehuda admitting his sins, then Reuven admitted his sins. Okay? So what does it show chronologically? So who did tshuva first, Yehuda or Reuven? Right? It says clearly. Who caused Reuven's tshuva, admission? He saw that Yehuda admitted, so he also admitted. So what is the chronology? That Yehuda did tshuva before Reuven. So the Mefarshim here say, but this is absolutely impossible. Let's just go over the chronology, and we see that that's not what happened. Listen to the chronology. When do we find that Reuven is doing tshuva? You know when we find that Reuven is doing tshuva already? Remember for the story, for changing the beds, to putting his mother's bed together with his father's bed when Rachel dies. Right? That's when his sin was occurred. When Yosef is sold, right? All of a sudden, Reuven disappears and comes back. Right? So one of the opinions is, where is Reuven? Well, he's busy besakoi. In other words, by going through all the different afflictions, right? Because of the sin that he committed. He felt so badly about the sin that he committed. Besakoi v'tarmilo v'tainisoi, he was fasting, right? And he was wearing like a special clothes, a garment, in order to show his affliction. So at which point do we see Reuven doing tshuva? When Yosef is sold. Let's maintain the chronology right, okay? Now, when does Yehuda commit the sin with Tamar? Right, that's what we're talking about, the sin with Tamar. It says like this. After they sold Yosef, they fired Yehuda. That's what it says, Yehuda, they fired him. He was their leader, and they just threw him out. They said, now, after we made such a mistake as selling Yosef, and you allowed us to do it, you lose your job. So Yosef goes off with a friend, right? And that's when he marries his wife, and he has the children, and the children marry Tamar. And then it comes out that then he has relations with Tamar, and then he does tshuva. So the tshuva of Reuven precedes even the sin of Yehuda. You hear the chronology? You hear the chronology? Right? The tshuva of Reuven, right? We find out about it when Yosef is being sold. Yehuda, at the time that Yosef is sold, hasn't even committed the sin yet. So he does tshuva long after Reuven does tshuva. How can Rashi say here, this is the name of Chazal, that you know when Reuven admitted, when he saw Yehuda admitting, so he said, oh, you can do tshuva, okay, I'll also do tshuva. The chronology is all wrong. So one of the commentaries says, you see, Rashi is very careful here. Rashi doesn't say, when did Reuven do tshuva? Didn't say that. When did Reuven admit? What's the difference between tshuva and admission? Without admission, there's no tshuva. That's really the point. Reuven thought that, you know what doing tshuva means? You have committed a sin. You have to afflict yourself. You have to suffer, right? Because God doesn't like you. So therefore, you have to show through your actions that God doesn't like you. God is angry at you. So you have to wear a sock, you have to wear special clothing that bother you, and you have to fast. But the main ingredient of tshuva he didn't do. What's the main ingredient of tshuva? Admission, recognition, that's the main thing. Who has that power of the word again? Again, we are coming back to the power of the word. Yeah. Yehuda has the power of the word, right? So this is what Rashi means. All his life, Reuven was afflicting himself because of the sin, suffering because of the sin, but the main thing he didn't do. Until he saw Yehuda. Oh, you mean that admission is the key? I didn't know about it. This is what Rashi means. This is why we put it together. In other words, we say, Reuven, you know what the credit for his hodo, for his admission? That's from Yehuda, okay?
Which pasuk was that again?
The Rashi. The first Rashi was Psalm. Now, in pasuk Chet is the blessing to Levi, Ule Levi Omar. And this is what he said to Levi. Tumecho ve'urecho. Obviously, it's a reversal of the word Urim ve'tumim, right? Urim ve'tumim, right? The breastplate. Tumecho ve'urecho le'ish chasidecho. Le'ish chasidecho is the Kohen Gadol, Levi. Levi, the Kohen Gadol, the highest person in the tribe of Levi, right? So he's saying that's the biggest blessing, that that Levi reaches a point that the Kohen Gadol can actually wear the Urim V'Tumim. It's a tremendous bracha. True? The incredible thing is that the Urim V'Tumim are always called Urim V'Tumim. This is the order. Urim V'Tumim. Why here does Moshe change the order? Why is it Tumecho V'Urecho and not Urecho V'Tumecho? The word is Urim V'Tumim, not Tumim V'Urim. Right? There must be a meaning to this, right? What is it? What is it trying to say, Moshe Rabbeinu, by reversing the order? It says like this. Why is the breastplate called Urim V'Tumim? Says the Gemara. Urim comes to the word or light up, because the letters used to light up, right? The letters on the breastplate used to light up. That's the Urim name. But that wasn't the end of the process. After the Kohen Gadol saw the letters, he had to concentrate and receive a message from Hashem how to put the letters together. That was a second state, right? That process is called Tumecho, like the word Tam, that everything fits together, everything is perfect, like Tomim, perfect, right? Meaning, the letters by themselves mean nothing. What do you do with six, seven letters that mean nothing, that you don't know how to put together, right? The Kohen Gadol has to put it together. You know the famous word of the Gaon of Vilna. It's a beautiful word, the Gaon of Vilna, that really illustrates this point. It says that when Shmuel Hanovi's mother, Hannah, right, she had no children for a long time, and she came to the Mikdosh, to the Shiloh, to pray for a child. Right? So she's praying and praying and praying, which for some reason was very unusual at the time. And the Kohen Gadol is sitting there, and it bothers him. There is a lady here, people are walking around. I mean, there must be a reason, and he has to know what to do, right? So he goes over to her and says, get rid of your wine, you're drunk. She turns around and says, I'm not drunk. I'm Ishok Sheira, I'm a good woman, Jewish woman. What do you want from me? I'm not drunk. And he realizes his mistake and he gives her a blessing. There it is. How did he make a mistake, the Kohen Gadol? Why should he assume that the lady's drunk? Say, the lady's a problem. Why should he assume she's drunk? Says the Gaon of Vilna, that really the Kohen Gadol, since it was an important matter, he really asked the Urim V'Tumim to give him advice what to do. He's in a bind. I mean, there is a lady here. He has to know what to do, how to deal with her. How should he deal with her? So he asked Hashem, give me a sign how to deal with it, right? So the following letters lit up. Hey, right? Chof, Reish, Shin. Hey, Chof, Reish, Shin. Okay. Now he has to concentrate and figure it out. Four letters. You have to put it together. So he thinks. Oh, Shikoiro, Shin, Chof, Reish, Hey. The woman is drunk. Get rid of her. He goes over. Lady, you are drunk. Please leave. Right? So she says, I'm an Isho Keshero. Cho, Shin, Reish. Hey, you've got the letters mixed up. She says, yeah, right. Kesh, a woman doing the right thing. Right. Yosher. Kosher. Kosher means like a person doing the right thing. It's fit. I have a Keshero, Isho Keshero. Right? Isho Keshero. Doing the right, doing prayers. So he says, yeah, made a mistake. I didn't put it together right. You know, it's the Urim worked. You know, the first stage of Urim, the lighting up, worked. It's the Tumim that didn't work. There was something wrong with Eli's, with the Kohen Gadol's concentration, and he got the wrong answer. You know, he put it together wrong. Okay?
I got it.
So now the point is like this. The reason why the instrument is called Urim V'Tumim, because that's the order. First it lights up, and then it becomes perfect. But when we are talking about the greatness of Shevet Levi, the greatness of the Kohen Gadol, in what is the broche greatest of the Kohen Gadol? That's what? That he can put it together, to interpret it. So it's so that Tumecho precedes the Urecho as a blessing. Right? As an instrument, of course, Urecho, it's Urim V'Tumim. But here we are saying the blessing to the Shevet Levi. There is a much greater blessing in Tumecho than in Urecho. So this is why he reverses it. Ule Levi, now Tumecho v'Urecho. The Tumecho is the biggest thing that you can even put it together. And then it goes on in the Broch of Levi, and it says like this. Yoiru Mishpotecho Liyakov, they should teach the Mishpotim to Yaakov, in Pasuk Yud, V'soyroscho LiYisrael, and the Torah to Israel. Now, the question is, why are the Jews divided into in Yaakov? Yaakov means the Jews. He teaches the laws to Yaakov, and he teaches Torah to Israel. What's the difference? What's Mishpote, what's Torah,
Yaakov,
what's Yoka, Yaakov, what's Israel? What's the difference? So why divide it up? Now, it says like this. Again, this is from the Netziv, Nartology of Berlin, the Amit Dover. It says like this. There's no sitter here. Is there a sitter, by the way? No sitter? Okay, doesn't matter. If you remember in the Shabbos morning prayer, it says like this: Torah Hashem Temimo Meshivas Nefesh, right? What? How does it go there? Eidos Hashem Nemono Pesi, right? So on and so forth. The last thing that's mentioned is Mishpatei Hashem Emes Sod Kuyavdol. The Mishpatim of Hashem are true. So, it's just like this. What does it mean, like, the last thing, first we speak about Torah and then we're talking about Mishpat. It's just like this. We see, for instance, the Gemara says like this, what about if you have a Jewish community? It brings down a Gemara that says that we have a Jewish community and there are no Balei Torah. There aren't any people who are able to paskena halacha based on Torah. They don't know any Torah. Do you still have the obligation to set up botei mishpot? In other words, botei dini? So it brings down the Gemara that says, yes, you have the obligation. Why? Because even if you don't have Torah, there is a sense of mishpot. As a matter of fact, says the Amik Dor, it's an amazing thing. He says, when it says, Don Yodin Amoy, in the Broches of Yaakov, Don will become a judge. Don is never blessed with greatness in Torah. Don is never blessed with greatness. That's not one of his great characteristics. So what is the blessing? That he has an intuitive sense of justice. Don has an intuitive sense of justice. In other words, he knows he has a sense of what's right and what's wrong. Even without Torah. It's an amazing statement he makes. He says, but Shimshon, his sense of justice was greater than his greatness in Torah. He was a shofet. Right? Even though he wasn't from Shevet Issachar or Shevet Yehuda or Shevet Levi that have a special Torah blessings. Don doesn't have a Torah blessing. But Don has a blessing of a natural sense of justice. Okay? So now, if so, the difference between Torah and Mishpat is clear. Torah means justice as part of the knowledge of Torah. Mishpat, right, when we speak about Mishpat as different than Torah, we are talking about that innate sense of justice. Okay? So it says like this. Whenever we say we call the Jews Yaakov, right?
Justice based on Torah.
Right. But there is such a thing as justice based on human needs, even though you are not basing that justice in Torah. And he brings that proof from Shevet Dan. He says there is such a concept. And he says otherwise, a city without Talmidei Chachomim, there are no Talmidei Chachomim, would have no courts. And the Gemara says, set up courts. How are you going to set up courts? So you see that there is a system of justice, even though it's not actually based on Torah, right? We rely on the basic intuition of Shevet Don that at least he's going to come up to, with solutions to basic problems. He won't be able to solve great problems, of course, for that you need Torah. But basic disagreements of human beings, you can come up with your own sense, with your own sacrifices. That's the blessing of Shevet Don. Now, what is Yaakov? It says like this. What is the difference between Yaakov and Israel? When is Yaakov called Yaakov? when he's still attached to the foot, to the heel of Esau. He's still struggling with Esau. That's where the name Yaakov comes from. He's still struggling with Esau. Now, during that struggle, right, sometimes Esau pulls Yaakov, sometimes Yaakov pulls Esau. It's a struggle. When is he called Israel? When he overcomes completely the angel of Esau. That Israel actually means Kisoriso. You have struggled, right, with spiritual beings. Aleph Lamed represents the spiritual powers in the world, and you have overcome. Kisoriso. You know, you have overcome. The word sar means somebody who has power. You have shown your power over all the powers in the world. Israel. So Israel is really the name of the Jewish people once they've overcome Esau. The reason why we are called Bnei Israel is more thanks to our future than of our present. Now, eventually we will be Israel, so therefore we are called Israel right now. But even among Jews, the masses are called Yaakov. The special Jews, the Jews, the spiritual Jews are called Israel. Because of that, because Israel represents a level where you have overcome evil, and Yaakov represents a level that you are still struggling with evil, you win a few, you lose a few, that's the nature of struggling. So this is why Yaakov represents the masses, and Israel represents the higher levels of Klal Israel. Right? Now, this is why we divide it up. Yoiru mishpotecho, mishpotecho, we just finished saying, means what? The sense of justice that's not based on Torah. Who does he have to teach that to? To Yaakov. Yoiru mishpotecho li Yaakov. But vestoiroscho, Levi has a capacity to teach in every level. He can teach mishpot to Yaakov, but he can also teach toiroscho le Yisrael, because toiro is only fit for Israel. Mishpot, without Torah, that's to Yaakov. That's why, says the Amik Dovor, we divide it up. Now, in the broche of Yosef, you will see that the whole broche of Yosef are physical things. Ul Yosef ha-meborekes Hashem Arzo, tremendous broche on physical things. So it says like this. The power of Yosef. Among the tribes, we find that Yosef is the mashbir, the supporter. Right? When the brothers have nothing to eat, who supports them? Yosef. Right. So therefore, it's fitting that the blessing should be on physical things. Now, physical support should come from Yosef. Now, throughout the ages, physical support is to come from Yosef. This is why Moshe Rabbeinu gives the special physical blessing to Yosef more than anyone else. So, says, you know, what you're about, what Rav Kook, the first chief rabbi of Israel, you know, the Gemara says, once mentioned that the Gemara says there are two Mashiachim. There is a Mashiach ben David, and there is a Mashiach ben Yosef. So really, people don't understand why you need two Mashiachim for, right there. Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef. What? Why do you need two for? So he said, that's the whole point. Really, the nature of Yehuda is spiritual. Not like everybody thinks that Yehuda represents power. Just the opposite. Like we said today, the power of Yehuda is in the spirituality. The word represents spirituality. That is Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben David represents the spiritual redemption of the Jewish people. Right? But before the spiritual redemption can come, we have to be physically ready for that spiritual redemption, right? So he believed that Mashiach ben Yosef was the process of the physical redemption of the Jewish people that will come before the spiritual redemption of the Jewish people. This is why Yosef, Mashiach, it has to be a Mashiach ben Yosef, because it has to be a physical redemption, right? He said even more. He said, this is why the leaders of the Zionist movement, he said, act like goyim, right? They're Gentiles, right? They're Jews who act like Gentiles. Why? Because that's part of Yosef. Part of Yosef is that he looks like an Egyptian. The brothers don't recognize him. You are Jewish? That's the way we can look at them. But that's the way the Geula is supposed to come. He says this? Through the powers of Rav Kook. So, it's interesting. Now, that is the characteristic of Yosef. Is a special zechus that he has to bring the Geula. The physical geulah through his nature. Now, it's there to be a physical geulah. This is why all the blessings of Yosef, I mean, Megel Eretz Meloyoi, etc. One more thing. In Pasuk Yudches,
so we have to be a secular state before we be a religious state.
According to him, yeah, according to him, yeah. Of course, other people argue, you know, we don't, meaning, most of the Gdolim believe, said that, well, listen, fine, I mean, if that's the process, that's the process. But do we have to help it along? I mean, if it's bad, we don't have to help it. But he saw it as a fulfillment of the Mashiach ben Yosef process.
Well, who is it? But there's no Mashiach ben Yosef, though.
Mashiach ben Yosef doesn't necessarily have to be a person. It could be a movement, a process. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean
Mashiach ben David,
yes. Yes, it has to be, because it says he's a Novi. It says he's a Novi and he's a Melech. So Mashiach ben David has to be a person. Mashiach ben Yosef, it doesn't say anywhere.
We don't have any sign for Mashiach ben Yosef, no? I mean, for Mashiach ben David, we have many signs.
Sure.
He has to.
And Mashiach ben Yosef, we don't. It's interesting.
We don't have any.
We have signs. Yeah. Mashiach ben David. Because they have spiritual characteristics. Mashiach ben Yosef, nothing. Right. So he said, because it's purely physical, that's all. There are no real importance. It's just a physical process. Mm-hmm. That's what in Pasuk Yudches, it says like this. It's a broche to two tribes together. And so the service is very difficult. Velizvulun omar semach zvulun betzaisecho visochor beoyolecho. Now, the broche of Zvulun is together with Issachar in the same posuk. Why? I mean, what if semach zvulun betzaisecho, whatever that means. But whatever it means, it can mean an independent broche. So the Chazal say, because they made a deal, right? They made a deal that they are sharing rewards. Physical rewards. Zvulun is the one that has a natural capacity to do business. He's a tremendous merchant. He's a born merchant, businessman. Yisochor is a born Torah scholar. Right? So therefore, Yisochor feels badly, but I have to make a living. And Zvulun feels badly, but, you know, what will be with my reward for learning? So they got together and they made a deal. Yisochor will share with Zvulun the sechar for learning, and Zvulun will share with Yisochor the money that he makes doing business. That's a deal that Yisochor and Zvulun made. This is the reason why the brochos have to come together. It's not because if one gains, the other one gains automatically, right? So therefore, the posuk automatically has to fit them together. Semach Zevulun betzaisecho, because Yisochor beoyolecho. He can be happy, he doesn't have to be sad doing business, right? Because he knows that the reward for Torah, Yisochor will share with him. And Yisochor is happy beoyolecho, and he doesn't have to worry about making a living, because Zevulun will share with him the profits. Okay, this is what Chazal say is the reason why it's one broche with two people in it, because it's really one broche for the two, because every broche is shared by both of them. So of course it has to be in the same posuk. But the interesting part is the broche doesn't end there. The broche goes on. It says like this: Amim har yikro, the nations will be called to the mountain har. Usually, when we talk in Israel about the har, you know what we mean. What is it?
Maria.
Maria, without any question. No, they're based on me. Yerushalayim. Shom, there, Yizbechu Zivchei Tzedek. They will offer offerings of righteousness. What is the meaning of this? Says Rashi. You know what it means? What it means is the following. He says, we think, right, that a person who is in business, right, so he's not involved in serving God. A person who learns Torah, Yisochor, he is involved with serving God. You know what Zebulun is really going to do in his great business endeavors? Said Rashi. Says Rashi like this: Alidei prakmatyo shel Zebulun, because Zebulun will be such a successful businessman, but he will be such a careful businessman, right? He will be careful with all the dinim of the Torah, to be honest, to give a good example. So through the business connections, people are going to get to know the Jewish way of life. So they will be called upon by Yerushalayim, Kimitzion Teitzei Shoro. And they will be so impressed by the Jewish ways that Shom Yizbechu Zivchei Tzedek, says Rashi. What does it mean, Zivchei Tzedek? What's called a ger that commits himself to Judaism? for Ger Tzedek. Zivchei Tzedek, says Rashi, Alidei Prakmatio Shel Zvulun. Tagore Yoivet Kolchovim Boim El Arzoi. Veim Oimrim, let's go to Yerushalayim, let's see how they live. Man Yerotso Shel Umozu. Veim Roim Kol Yisrael Oivdim Leloi Kayechot, etc., etc. Umizgairim, and they become Gerim Shenemar Shom Yizbechu Zivchei Tzedek. Right? Rashi uses the word Tzedek as a hint to Ger Tzedek, which means like this. We think that this woman's job has nothing to do with bringing people closer to Hashem. Says, that's good for the blessing. The blessing is that Zvulun will be as successful in spiritual things like Yisochor will be in the Oihel, except in a different method. Through doing business, people will be so impressed with the Jewish way of life that he'll bring people to the Kiddush Hashem of recognizing, right, the Torah way of life. Okay, so this is what the meaning of the combination of Pasuk Yud Ches and Yud Tes. The blessing for Zvulun and Yisochor is in the first Pasuk, but then it's a specific brocha, says Rashi, to Zvulun, that in his mundane endeavors, right, doing business, right, traveling, he should be so successful in bringing people closer to Hashem, like Yisochor is in his Oihel learning Torah.
The opposite also true when Zvulun doesn't do it,
that's the worst thing. That's going against the purpose of Zvulun. Now the reason why Hashem gave the bracha to Zvulun, it's also the bracha is also a condition. It's only to use it in the right way.
It's interesting, you know, that there was a list of the Jerusalem Post that came out, the list of the 20 wealthiest people in the world. I don't know if you saw it. So the number, I think 10, right, is someone who is a Jew with a long beard, with pious, the 10th richest person in the world.
For the Reichman brothers.
The Reichman, that's what the Reichman brothers. So this man, Moshe Reichman, I mean, I've heard people saying that a word from Moshe Reichman is more of a guarantee than any guarantee of any government in the world, a word of Moshe. When you hear something like this, you realize what Zvulun is. As Zvulun can do more for the Kiddush Hashem, right, than other people doing other things. We shouldn't think that business is a different world. Business is one of the means that you can bring people closer to Hashem. This is the Brach of Zvulun.
Okay.